some residents in Robinson subdivision. And if you could just, it might help educate myself again and refresh my memory on why we do what we do, and maybe some of the other councilmen might learn something from this too.
But one of the concerns, I believe, is this the letter from Mr. Cranebitter?
Cranebitter. Yeah, I mean, just basically, my question would be that their concern is a $5,700-plus connection charge when it was you established another rate at houses that were built previous to a certain time. Would you just tell us why we do that and why you ended up doing it?
There's two system connection charges for Millville Sanitary Sewer District now. One is for homes built after June 30th of 2003. That's the $5,768. And a fee for those homes built prior to the June 30th, 2003, which is $2,300. For me to give you the particulars on how that was set up, I don't know that I'm the perfect person to do that,
Mike,
but they were set at the time at the district, and I was not here, so.
We actually formed the district back in 2003, and of course, when you present rates to the residents in the area, one of their comments is, well, what can you do to get this impact fee lower? So one of the things that we looked at was subsidizing people who were living there in 2003. And giving them a reduced connection fee of $2,300. I think for newer residents, even at that time we started, it was probably somewhere around $4,000 to $4,500. But over the course of this past 7 years, that rate has escalated a little bit to the current $5,700 fee. And I know a couple of the residents, Mr. Baker attended the meeting that night, and I know that was basically if we received any negative comments at that meeting from the residents who attended, it was from residents. Some of them have now been there. You know, maybe they built their house in 2005.
Right.
You know, so they've been there 5 years, and they feel like, well, you know, we're
aren't we an older resident? Yeah,
too.
We?
Okay. So it's something that we are working on, and I think we have something that we can come back. I don't know if it's going to totally satisfy folks like Mr. Crittenden, but I do believe it's a positive step, but we haven't worked out all the details, and I don't know if Mr. Baker wants to add anything to that.
So basically, it was a financial thing to bring in long-term residents that had been there before 2003. You felt we would help subsidize it by increasing it after that date, and that date was picked because we had
that's
formed
when
the district.
That's when we had the public hearing, and that's when the county council voted to create the district.
Even though it took this long now to get to Robinson subdivision, but they were included in all that.
They were included in the original district. It was actually, when we had the public hearing on the boundary, they were not included. But I do believe there were some residents that came here to county council to, you know, there was further discussion at county council, and the district was expanded to include those subdivisions, even though they weren't in the original district boundary, you know, that was presented at the public hearing.
So basically, a neighbor, she could have a neighbor who had the old rate, and she could have the new rate. Okay. But
well, the $2,300 was the connection fee, as was noted, for residents who had property there or had improvements there prior to June 30, 2003. And part of the idea behind that was that the funding agencies who do not like to fund growth, we were going to ask the newer users to pay more towards the cost of the system. Mm-hmm. So we had a higher connection fee for the new users. So this was something that was brought to our attention at the meeting, and we'd like to look at it and maybe come forth with a better, maybe another way
in other words, you're going to revisit
and the
numbers may
project
change, and we may see a lesser amount. Still going to be a connection charge, and it's going to be more than it was in 2003, but it'd be maybe less than what we got here. Is that what we're
caveat to that is we've had four other contracts in Millville that would be subject. If you're going to give some form of a discount, it can't just be for this contract F. You have to look at the other contracts where you had
well, when you do this analysis, you'll look at that when you're doing it, so you'll know if there is going to be a negative impact.
Yeah, we look at the whole.
You'll look at the whole. Okay,
right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it is a hefty number, and
some of those folks, you know, they make a good point. Well, you know, we invested in a septic system, and now we're having to come pay an impact fee, whereas some folks knew that going in. They knew that when they put their septic system in the ground, but these folks in contract that may not have necessarily understood that because they weren't in the original scope of the project.
And it was so far down the road. That's the other dilemma that we were just talking about. If you, if something when there's no dates certain, you just don't know. And nothing in the, then we're economy driven. So, correct. And that's what's happened. Okay. Okay. I think I can explain it to them if they ask me.
Okay.
Any other, any other questions? I have a motion.
Please.
Be it moved by Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to begin design, advertise, and bid the project to provide sewer infrastructure for the northwest expansion of the Millville Sanitary Sewer District, area to include primarily the properties and communities adjacent to White's Neck Road, as well as Ocean Farms and Denton Mills Subdivision.
So moved.
Second, please.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve. Motion by Mr. Ashman to review and move forward with the Millville Sanitary Sewer District. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Benson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Ms. Cooper?
You're actually going to get out of here before lunch today. I hope. It depends on how long you keep me up here, I guess. I'm here for the to ask that the parking lot, Harris Alley Parking Improvements Project, be granted substantial completion, and I've included the copy of the balancing change order, and I'm asking to be allowed to return retainage held during the project.
Retain what?
The retainage. There's a 5% retainage held during the project.
All right.
Why don't you read the motion?
No questions, I assume. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that Sussex County Council grant substantial completion effective August 20th, 2010 to Ralph Cahill and Son Paving Incorporated for Sussex County project number 0408, Harris Alley Parking Improvements, and further that balancing change order number 2 be approved in the amount of $2,343, thereby increasing the contract amount from $87,087 to $89,430. And that final payment be made and any held retainage be released in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contract documents.
I'll make that motion.
Second, please.
Second.
A motion and a second to approve the recommendation by the engineering department. Any discussion?
You had differing site conditions?
Yes, we had a little bit. We had to add enhanced erosion protection.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
If you did it.
Mm-hmm. There was a little bit more runoff on one side of the pond than I had anticipated, so I had to add some additional erosion protection.
Right.
No further questions. We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Benson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cooper. Grant requests, Ms. Webb?
Just one today. The first one is Coverdale Crossroads Community Council. And this is in Mr. Wilson's district.
$200.
Motion from Mr. Wilson, second.
Second.
From Mr. Benson to give $200 from Mr. Wilson's account to Coverdale Crossroads Community Council. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Benson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Moore, are there any proposed ordinances?
There are not, Mr. President.
We have additional business from the public. Ms. Roberta Hemrick. Morning, Roberta. You have 3 minutes.
How's everybody today?
Just fine. How are you doing?
Good. For the record, I'm Roberta Hemrick. I live in McNichol Place in Lewis. I would like to inquire about the status of the Board of Adjustment appointments and suggested meetings recommended at the Board of Adjustment workshop. Can I get an update on that? When this might happen?
When what will happen?
The Board of Adjustment appointments.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I believe that there were some meeting, at least one meeting, that was to be scheduled following the Board of Adjustment workshop.
I think that my recollection was there was going to be a report brought back to us from that meeting, a kind of a highlights of, is that, was that a correct assumption or?
Well, I think,
what, how
did
we
what
end
we
that?
Did is we introduced the ordinances, okay, I'm thinking of manufactured homes.
Yeah,
that's
not,
my next
about,
question.
Okay.
What we did was we asked the attorney and the Board of Adjustment to come back to us with any recommendations they had for making changes.
Right, based on that meeting.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, so that was my understanding.
They haven't come back to us yet with any recommendations.
Okay, wasn't...
Time frame.
Wasn't Lawrence Lank supposed to meet with somebody?
Well, I think Mr. Moore, our staff, the staff was supposed to meet.
Staff,
that was
yeah.
the next meeting. I don't think we had another meeting. Right.
Yes, and I believe that Mr. Burrell was to be met with as well. Mr.
Yeah.
Lank and Mr.
Or maybe,
Burrell.
Yeah, it wasn't you, it was Mr. Burrell. So.
Yeah, Mr. Burrell.
Right. I had the wrong attorney.
Yeah. But there was no time frame as far as that.
Right.
But if Mr. Baker will...
Yeah, I'll follow up on it.
You know, follow up and make sure that they're moving along or they're look. You know, there is a something's going to come back to give us some kind of synopsis and a summary of what happened at that meeting and then recommendations.
Right, and I do know that Mr. Vanderslice in my office was looking at proposed ordinances, changes on certain things. For example, what items can... be handled over the counter with
right.
the Board
we
of Adjustment.
That, right.
I do know as of yesterday he gave me some information on that he is sharing with Mr. Burrell and Mr. Lank so that they can come together with a proposal. So I do know that has been moving on.
Okay. And what about appointments to...
You're looking at the wrong person.
Looking at the wrong person.
Well, there was a consensus that we would vote up or down on the appointment of Chief Gooch after the workshop, and I think we're still waiting for the upshot of the workshop.
This is what we just discussed here, you're saying?
Yeah, what we
right.
just talked
okay.
about.
So yeah, Dave. So if you could move that along, it will not. It'll speed up two things: and the appointment process and the review of what we talked about and what we. Plan to do in the future on that.
Okay.
Because I do believe that we are looking both at Mr. Calloway and Mr. Mills. We're both up for their terms were expiring back in June.
Mr. Calloway's was.
Just one. Of them.
And Mr. Mills.
Mills, two. Mills.
Two of them?
Mills.
Okay.
Yes.
Has Mr. Mills been recommended to be reappointed, or is that not, no, nobody's done anything on Mr. Mills? Okay.
And I had suggested at one point that John Walsh be reconsidered as an appointee. I had made that recommendation at a council meeting.
Yes.
So it's something that I would like to see considered.
Thank you very much.
The other question, I'm sorry, is... what is happening? What's the status of the ad hoc committee recommendations?
Well, the ordinances were introduced, and they have to go to public hearing at the Planning and Zoning Commission. And I know they're working through the schedule on that, and I can follow up with you and give you the dates on that later. I don't.
I would appreciate that.
Mr. Guy has it, I believe.
All right. Is that all, Ms. Hemmer?
Okay.
That's all for me.
Thank
you very much.
Mr. Walsh, you have your 3 minutes of fame.
Well, wait till he gets done introducing. You're cutting him off a little bit now. That's a little quick on that. Now, wait a minute. He wasn't even up there.
Good morning, council members. For the record, my name is John Walsh. I live at 48 Colonial Lane in Rehoboth Beach. Very briefly, I just wanted to let you know what was going on at the Board of Adjustment last evening. It's unfortunate there. Members of council don't periodically appear at these hearings by your various boards just to see what's going on. First of all,
I do.
That's correct, Mrs.
Yes.
Eber. You are one of those that do. First of all, the meeting apparently started off with a conference out in the hallway by all members of the Board of Adjustment, which is an apparent violation of the Freedom of Information Act, before they went in. That wasn't seen by me. That was seen by members of the League of Women Voters and mentioned it in the chambers. Secondly, of the 15 cases that were on the agenda, one was denied, nine were approved, five were deferred until later. The situation with some of the approvals where there was a disagreement or opposition, the state president of the League of Women Voters was asked about a quote in the newspaper and then asked why should her sworn testimony be believed based on something that was done in the papers some weeks ago. I think that was inappropriate by a member of the Board of Adjustment to ask that kind of a question, especially someone who was under oath at the time. And the quote was based on figures supplied by the Planning and Zoning Commission. I think that is a problem that should be considered by council. Finally, there was a request for a setback that I opposed, citing the position of the fire marshal's office at an ad hoc committee meeting about the separation between homes. It was suggested that the board get absolute information from the fire marshal's office before this variance be granted. The board refused to do that and granted the variance without getting any further information. I think you should be aware of what's going on there. There are two members that are still in limbo. Their terms have expired. They are still on the board, which is by law, but not doing anything for now going on from June 30 to the middle of September seems like it's, you know, really an unjustified delay. I believe my 3 minutes are up, sir. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
It's Greg Minosh, 25732 Timmins Lane in Dagsboro, Delaware. And I've come before you because I think you should know that, make you aware of that our county is losing money by a way of not having a lack of building permits going through. My business in Dagsboro is I sell and install wind turbines. And not only my business, but the contractors I use, Zapp Masonry, he uses Theragoods Concrete. He gets his rebar from Mumford Sheet Metal. My electrician, he's not gaining any income from jobs that I'm able to do. Denny Electric, where he gets his supplies. Obviously, again, as I stated, no building permits through the county. My customer, I've got several customers right now that can't get a building permit because and they can't reduce their electric bills by a lack of me putting up a wind turbine appliance at their home to reduce their electric bills. Obviously, the environment, and again, the state and federal policies regarding alternative energy. I've got six copies. Can I hand this out and you can review them?
Okay. Sorry, I didn't have more. I didn't know exactly how many people were going to be here.
Thank you.
What that is a new law that went into effect basically in June 2010, House Bill 70. And also Amendment House Bill 500, Section 88. What that did is it changed the policy regarding, as I highlighted on there, setbacks, noise, and it addressed signage. What also HB 500 did, Section 88, as it said, and that's the second page, notwithstanding the provision of any existing county or municipal zoning ordinance or regulation, no prohibition against or restrictions on wind energy systems for residential single-family homes that is inconsistent with those sections and adopted prior to August 8, 2009 shall be in effect and no conditional use or other zoning review process shall be required. So my reason for coming to you is that in the late 70s, mid 70s, we had a zoning ordinance that was put into effect regarding wind turbines and windmills, as it's stated in there. Anybody that had less than 5 acres of land could not apply for a building permit unless they got a variance. The way the law is now, Sussex County is standing by the policy that you need 5 acres of land. So my customer in Laurel has 4.3 acres, and someone in Fenwick Island who has less than 5 acres can't even apply for a building permit and get a building permit unless they have more than five acres of land. The state law, as you saw there in HB 70, dictates a minimum setback of 1 times the height of the wind system. So my coming to you, as I had done about a year and a half ago, was I believe the county needs to change or amend the 5 acre limitation to meet what the state has adopted as the setback guideline, and help myself, businesses in the community that are local, paying their taxes, can produce an income and still meet the customer's objective of reducing their electric bill.
All right, let me just ask Everett, while we got you up here, and we'll give you a few more minutes since we never even turned the thing over. There we go. Anyway.
I believe I've spoken to you on the telephone, and the issue came because the state law was changed this past session, and it indicated that we could basically not have require someone to come before public hearings, where our statute said it was 5 acres. We were making people come to a public hearing if it was under. So since it's not permitted, a permitted use under 5 acres, I've discussed this with Mr. Burrell, then, and we can't have a public hearing, then they can't have one under 5 acres the way the law was drafted. Unfortunately, my recollection is that this was part of the, I'm not sure if it was the bond bill, that this was added in, and it was kind of a last minute thing at the legislature instead of looking through all the potential ramifications
it was just,
of their law. It was,
so you're saying that under our ordinance, under 5 acres, none.
We can't, because we can't go to a hearing the way our ordinance is drafted.
Okay.
We are not allowed to go to a hearing because the state law says
state
you
law.
Are not allowed to have give a variance or any type mm-hmm. of zoning approvals.
So what are we doing? Are we not, I guess, not issuing any permits unless it's over 5 acres?
That is correct.
And you can't, fact, and they can't ask for a variance.
Mr. Burrell has, I believe, drafted a letter to go to planning and zoning asking them not to take any applications for variances because that
state
would
law.
Be in violation of the state law. So it was one of these unintended consequences that we face by.
And actually, the Planning and Zoning Office isn't even following that policy.
Well,
because I just went in there last week, two separate occasions, seeking a variance for a wind turbine. And the young lady in there handed me the application, said, this is what you need to do, and here's the fee, and you need to go and get a variance.
Well, hopefully we'll get that corrected, huh, Dave?
Well, Mr. Burrell became aware of that, and then that's when he issued the directive. So that they would know what the procedure is.
Okay.
But it's definitely an unintended consequence here.
Now, our options at this point would be to introduce a new ordinance and go through the public hearing process and change what we have.
That would be one possibility, yes.
Well, the other possibility would be what?
Lobby your state legislator
to change
the state law.
Sure. But actually, it really comes down to how you defined, and I spoke to Mr. Burrs on the phone, is how you interpret Section 88, that second page.
Well,
and the county is adopting the policy that the county's policy was and had an acreage limitation, whereas the House Bill 70 did not specifically address acreage, but it did specifically address setbacks. And then in Section 88, which was adopted, like you say, said Mr. Moore, in the finance bill, it was a section that was in there. Outside of HB 70, this Section 88 addressed those concerns and issues in House Bill 70 to make better or a better understanding of what the law is or was supposed to read, and that's when Section 88 came into effect. But again, that last line, any adopted policy prior to August 2009 shall be in effect.
So your position is that you should be able to, just going and get a building permit and put them anywhere in subdivisions on.
Well, that's what
five
part
acres,
of HB.
Acres.
That's what part of HB 70 is. If you read it, no count in line number 3 on the first page. No county, municipal, government, homeowners associations or associations formed for the management of and continue on shall prohibit a single family residence from putting this up, because the reason is they fell back into and creating for you guys and the county a policy where now if that wind turbine falls, it will fall on the landowner's property by having a setback. So my position is, as long as if the state has set a minimum setback of 1 times the height of the system, that basically takes care of the acreage limitation. Well, it allows the customer to get their building permit, and it's a trickle down
watershed. This is usually what happens when the state gets into land use business. They get it muddled.
Yeah.
I mean, there has been some concern about noise. You don't think the 5 acres may have been created potentially as a noise barrier?
No, there was nothing written as noise, because actually the laws that was adopted in the 70s was regarding windmills. Windmills weren't a factor, and alternative energy and wind turbines weren't a factor in the late 70s. Everybody was going with solar.
Well, we know it, and I've heard it many times, subdivisions that have restrictions against certain things, and they don't want them because lots are so small.
Right.
And then even some of your manufacturers' recommendations are that they should be, and I've read some of these pamphlets, a minimum of an acre. And what this state law implies is it could be on less than an acre, which means even the manufacturer's recommendations are kind of voided. But so I think we need to, somehow either lobby the state and tell them to get out of the land use business.
Well, that's where it comes down to you guys, basically. And my coming to you, hopefully, is we need to talk to the planning and zoning and adopt a new ordinance that either falls under land use but allows still the ability for someone, Mr. Cole, like you said, that has less than an acre of land, not to be able to apply for a building permit, or fall back to what the state has done in setting a setback of and falling under their guidelines. Either way, the number of people that want and love these things are very restricted by just the 5 acre limitation. So we need to change something that's either an acre or more or some number, because I've already talked to my representatives, Atkins, Bunning, Mr. Oberle, who adopted the bill, and the others, but they don't meet until January. So
we couldn't do anything until January anyway, by the time we advertise and go through the whole thing. So.
But at least I'm pushing, as a business owner, that's this trickle-down effect is not gaining income from my municipal county side and from the state side.
Great. Thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Thank you very much for your
time.
Appreciate it.
And have the towns changed? Have any of the towns addressed this?
Towns?
Cities? It says municipalities. Have you been able to put any municipalities?
Actually, no. Most municipalities, it doesn't work because they're mature. Trees and structures in the area don't, it's not.
Aside conducive. All that, if somebody didn't have some mature trees, had some immature trees.
Then
municipalities still have, they've made it.
If it's in Sussex County, it wouldn't matter, because my guideline right now is less than 5 acres of land. It doesn't work.
Well, in the city limits, it would be different. They would.
Well, it's still Sussex County.
There's no municipal, I know, but municipalities trump our ordinances. So, but otherwise, they're not letting you do it either.
Okay. No, most are not.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Moore, is there possibly an ordinance that
it's been brought to my attention that there are two new ordinances. Number one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a B1 neighborhood business district for a winery store to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 0.92 acres more or less. And this was filed on behalf of Wine Works, LLC.
I'll introduce it.
And the second being an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a B1 neighborhood business district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 0.51 acres more or less.
And I'll introduce it.
Okay, thank you.
Make a motion, we go into executive session.
For the purpose of?
Land acquisition.
No.
No.
Personnel.
No.
Personnel.
No land.
I really accept that.
I'm taking pot shots.
The other two.
The other two.
Second, please.
Yes,
all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Yes, aye.